Our scripture reading today comes from Mark 10, 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. I'm sorry, got a little mixed up there. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Do you ever feel like life is passing by, it's going really fast, and it's hard to keep up with? Well, I'm sure that's how Bartimaeus felt here. He'd been sitting on the sidelines his entire life. Being a blind man in that day of age, the only thing you could do was beg, especially if you didn't have your family to take care of you all the time. You sat on the side of the road and you begged day after day just to survive. And other than that, there was no way for making a living for yourself. He could not go on a trip, just as the people with Jesus were doing. So the whole crowd was just passing him by. No one was really paying much attention to him. And there was a lot of excitement in the air as the people, they were anticipating Jesus going to Jerusalem. That was his next step, was the Passover at Jerusalem. So they're all going with him. Now, Jerusalem at this time would have been decorated, full of smells and food and everything you could think of. It was almost like a big Christmas parade. The city's all dressed up and everybody's excited. So that's what everybody's excited to go to Jerusalem with Jesus and see him save them. So they all have this joy, all have this excitement in the air as they pass by Bartimaeus. And he's hearing all of it, but because of his blindness, he's sitting there, not a part of it. Now, someone must have told him, or he just had this feeling that Jesus was there. And he's heard the stories of Jesus. Most of the people in this area have by this time. Everyone knew who Jesus probably was. Some people didn't believe, some did, but they knew about him. So Bartimaeus, he began to cry out at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." At that moment, his life changed forever. So I want us to see the life of Bartimaeus as an example of what our responses should be when Jesus is passing our way, which he is doing at this very moment. The first thing that I believe Bartimaeus and his experience with Jesus teaches us is that Jesus Christ rewards those who are persistent. When Bartimaeus began calling out to Jesus, there were those who tried to silence him, but he wasn't discouraged. Some of them rebuked him, but he kept calling out. They didn't want Bartimaeus, this beggar, to interfere with their holy trip, to interfere with this joyous moment, with his begging. No one in the crowd wanted that. They just wanted to drown him out. He wasn't important right now. What was important was Jesus. Bartimaeus didn't care what they thought, so he cried even louder, crying out to Jesus. He wasn't going to let this Jesus, this blessing, this healing that he believed in, pass by him. Now, if you notice, Jesus caught the sound of this man's voice. And as soon as he did, after that second call, he stopped in his tracks. He heard this desperate cry of someone in need over all the other voices in this giant crowd. And he decided he wasn't going to take another step until this man was healed. Now, he didn't only hear him with his ears, he also heard him with his heart. This man's needs touched the heart of Christ. And he wasn't going to take another step until the man came to him. Now, Bartimaeus' persistence, it paid off. If he'd allowed people to silence him, he would have never received this healing. If he was afraid to bother the master, this blind man, to bother him, he would have never met him. He would have just sat there. He would have missed out on this great opportunity. Now, just like Bartimaeus, we cannot receive anything from God if we don't ask for it, if we aren't persistent with God. You have to keep going. Sometimes you pray something, and it doesn't happen right then. It's not time for it. But don't give up. Be persistent and keep asking. The Bible says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." The kingdom of God belongs to those who are persistent and keep coming to God in faith, even when the first cry seemed not to be heard. Now, the second thing that Bartimaeus' experience teaches us about Jesus is that Jesus Christ rewards those who are passionate about him. Now, I've always been fascinated by Jesus' words when he says, "The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." The kingdom of God isn't for the mild. It's not for those who aren't passionate. It's for those who will passionately pursue God with all of their hearts. God spoke to the people of Israel saying, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." What that means is that if you do not seek God with your whole heart, if you are not passionate in your seeking of him, you won't find him. You cannot be passive about God and at the same time be seeking him. It's sort of like a treasure hunt. You don't just sit there at the starting line and expect everything to show up. You have to seek it. You have to pursue it. You have to be persistent about it. So, how interested are you in knowing God and having him a part of your life? That's a question of passion. Now, the answer to that question is the answer to how much of God you want in your life. So we may come to church, but are you actively, passionately seeking God throughout the week? Does a little dose of Sunday God, is that all you need for the week? Sometimes all you need for the month? Or do you want everything that God has for you? Are you passionately seeking all that God can bestow upon you? The Bible says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So now, often people think that the opposite of love is hatred. But actually, the opposite of love is indifference. So you may not hate God. Some people don't hate God, but they're indifferent towards him. And that means they're very far away from him. Like any person, God wants his desire for us matched by our desire for him. And that's where that passion comes in. That's where that pursuit comes in. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And the opposite also holds true. If we don't hunger for God, if we don't thirst for righteousness, then we will not be filled. We will remain empty. God blesses those with hunger and desire. He pays attention to the passionate. Now, Bartimaeus was passionate about God that day. He kept calling out with all of his heart, despite all the obstacles, his blindness, all the giant crowd that he was trying to shout over, and the people in the crowd telling him to stop. "What you're saying is not important." Despite all of that, he kept calling. And even when Jesus didn't respond the first time, he kept calling louder and louder. Now, Bartimaeus called him the son of David. That is him expressing his belief in Jesus as the Messiah, the chosen one of God. This man, he probably has never met before. He says, "Son of David." Back in those days, that was one of the highest titles you can give somebody. That was the coming of the Messiah. That was the Messiah. He put his full belief and passion into Jesus. And that's what healed him. Now, when he got a hold of Jesus' attention, Jesus said to his disciples, "Call to him. Tell him to come to me." As soon as Barnabas heard this, he threw down his robe, his outer garment. He was probably holding it out like this, little scoop in it, begging for money. So I can imagine there's some money in there and this robe. And as soon as Jesus calls out to him, he just throws it down. He doesn't care if someone takes his robe, takes all the money he has, which would be in there. He runs to Jesus' voice. Even though he couldn't see him, he still ran there. His heart was racing with desire. Then Jesus asked him the interesting question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus had asked Jesus for mercy. And he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't say, "Jesus, Son of David, give me some money. Heal me." He said, "Have mercy on me." So that leaves us open to think, what was that mercy? What was he asking for at this time? And then it jumps right into it. Bartimaeus wanted to just be touched by Jesus. He wanted his sight back. That's all he wanted. He could have asked Jesus for anything. All he wanted was to see. How much we miss by not seeking our hearts or seeking God with all of our heart, with all of our passion. A man named John Eldridge, in his book A Journey of Desire, writes these words. "At its core, Christianity begins with an invitation to desire. The fact is, at this point in our journey, we have only three options: to be alive and thirsty, to be dead, or to be addicted. There are no other choices. Most of the world lives in addiction. Most of the church chose deadness, but the Christian is called to a life of holy longing to be alive and thirsty for righteousness." A man named Bruce Wilkinson tells a story in a book called The Prayer of Jabez. I like this story, it's really sweet. There's a little fable about a Mr. Jones who dies and goes to heaven. Peter is waiting for him at the gates and gives him a tour. Mr. Jones notices an odd-looking building. He thinks it looks like an enormous warehouse that had no windows and just one door. But when he asks to see inside, Peter, he hesitates and says, "You really don't want to see it's in there." So Mr. Jones is thinking, why would there be any secrets in heaven? Why is this building so, why would I not want to see in there? What could be this incredible surprise in there? So he gets really excited. So when this tour is over, he goes to Peter and starts bugging him, says, "Let's go look at the building. I want to see in it. I want that part of the tour." So Peter finally relents. So when he opens the door, Mr. Jones, he just knocks him over, running into this building. He stops and notices just rows and rows of shelves, floor to ceiling. And on these shelves are these boxes stacked nicely with red ribbons on them. So Mr. Jones knows that all these boxes have names on them. He looks at Peter and says, "Do I have a box?" Peter says, "You do." Peter says, "Frankly, if I were you," but he gets cut off because Mr. Jones is running down his aisle, the J aisle, looking for his box. So Peter follows him, shaking his head. He knows what's going to happen. So when he finally catches up to Mr. Jones, he's taking the red ribbon off the box. He's taking the lid off. When he looks inside, Jones has this moment of instant recognition. He lets out this deep sigh, like all the ones Peter has heard before from the people interested in this building. Inside Mr. Jones' white box were all the blessings that God wanted to give him while he was on earth, but Mr. Jones never asked. God has so much to give us. He is willing to give us anything we pray for, anything that he has the ability to give. But we're too busy thinking about what's for lunch, thinking about what's tomorrow, what's next week, that we never ask. We never ask for these blessings in the moment. We think these spiritual gifts could not possibly be the same as what's outside those doors, what we have here. What we have here is our focus. But we never think about what could he give us? This box has all these blessings. All we have to do is ask. The Bible says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. So the third thing that Barnabas experienced, what Jesus teaches us, is that Jesus Christ rewards those who are in pursuit of him. The first thing that Barnabas did was to leave his former world, that robe, he left it behind. And as soon as he got his sight back, he followed Jesus. And when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Barnabas said, "I want to see." Jesus says, "Go. Your faith has healed you. You can go wherever you want now. You can do whatever you want to do." But what does Barnabas do? It says immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So I can see Barnabas now jumping and dancing as he followed Jesus down this road, down the road to Jerusalem. At one time, life had been passing him by. He'd been a beggar, but now he was enjoying all the blessings of God. He had entered into life in all of its fullness, and he followed Jesus. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price, and to lose him is to lose everything. Those who fail to be persistent in their quest for Christ are robbed of God's greatest gift. Those who fail to be passionate in their quest for Christ settle for a life of begging for the meager things this world tries to offer. But that's never truly satisfying. And for those who fail to pursue Christ, end up following their own foolishness and missing out on the great gift of life that God has waiting for each of us today. If you'll pray with me. God, again, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. And Lord, give us the strength. Give us the desire and the passion to follow you. And bless us with these spiritual gifts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.